but a freedom land. I'm on my way, freedom land. I'm on my way, great God Almighty, I'm on my way. I asked my brother, to come with me.
Come go with me.
I asked my brother. Won't you go with me? I asked my sister, come go with me. I asked my sister to go with me. I'm on my way, great God Almighty, I'm on my way.
Mama Mavis Staple, I couldn't hardly turn it off. Lord have mercy. Mama Mavis Staples, I'm on my way and I won't turn back. We give thanks and praises for Mama Mavis Staples. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. You are listening to thinkaboutit.org. Today's recording date is December the 12th. This is Sunday, December the 12th, 2010, and this is the Mind of God program. Now, you may contact me by emailing yahlove@comcast.net. Now let us get on back to the book of Revelation and look at how the book of Revelation is a prophetic book of the last days. The book of Revelation is warning to the oppressor, warning to the wicked, oppressor, killer, bloodshedder of the human family, and redemption and salvation for the poor, the afflicted, and the needy. And so we are in Book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 6. And we have been showing how these seven letters to the churches in Asia are in reality prophetic letters, showing us seven aspects or seven complete characteristics of the black church, the black preacher, and the black pastor. We are proving that we have left our first love. Our first love is Jesus, but what does that mean? Our first love is Christ, but what does that mean? The word Jesus, coming from the African Hebrew, Yahshua, means health, wealth, deliverance, and liberty. All of those things that have been taken from us by the wicked ruling class and ruling families through the implementation of this capitalist system, privatized and parasitic, through bloodshed and warfare, So Jesus, Yahshua, represents that knowledge based on the universe, truth, justice, and righteousness that would cause and enable us to regain liberty, deliverance, health, wealth, the kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. We left off last time with chapter 2, verse 6 of the book of Revelation. And in this verse of 6, chapter 2 in the book of Revelation. Well, let me go to 5 first. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. The first works is justice. That's the works we left. Black church, you know the history, our history in America. You are the African Hebrew Israelite nation in this time. The state of Israel is an imposter. We prove it all the time. We'll continue to prove it. You, sisters and brothers, know that we have been given the charge to stand up for justice, freedom, and equality. The black church coming through slavery. We don't say all black churches, but we say the black church in general, those that did participate in the civil rights movement, the human rights movement. You know that it was Dr. King and other preachers who stood up. You know that Malcolm X, even though he came through the mosque and Islam, is a religious man and stood up. Elijah Muhammad, a religious man, stood up. Black church, you know there was there was working together between Muslims and Christians on some level, revolutionaries, agnostic, and so on, folk who didn't claim a religion, but we all saw fit to work together on one level or another for freedom, justice, and equality, and the black church served as the meeting place. You have Malcolm speaking in churches. You had other revolutionaries speaking in churches, because the church was the place to go to organize for freedom, justice, and equality. Well, Jesus is telling us that we have fallen from that reality of understanding that we are the meeting place for strategizing against this wicked system. Jesus is telling us, repent and do the first works. Come back to justice. Come back to truth. Come back to freedom, justice, and equality. Come back to our mission, he says, or else I will come to thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. You remember what we said about the pole stars and the pastors and the candlesticks and the church and the members of the church, that we are light, lesser light. Jesus is the light of the world, whose power comes from the hidden and unseen Father, Amen, the hidden and unseen Mother, Amenet, also known as Allah and Illah, also known as Yahweh, the self-existent Mother and Father of life and creation. But if we don't go back to freedom, justice, and equality, if we don't come back to the works that we did and improve on those works, remember that Jesus said that we would do greater works than he did. Not many of us can fathom what those greater works are. I say, could they be that we would be those in the last days that would gain total victory from the Spirit of Christ and overcome this wicked system of Babylon and usher in the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth, and every human being on this planet will live in peace and freedom, having equal access to the wealth and resources in the earth and equal access to all knowledge and wisdom from the Most High? We got to come back. We are the lesser light representing the greater light, which is Jesus, and his power comes from the hidden and unseen Father and Mother. And so we got to verse 6 of chapter 2, and Jesus says, but this thou hast, that thou hast hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And I read from the Zondervan Pictorial Bible Dictionary around page 94, and I also read from the Life Application Bible. They have a commentary under most of the verses, and the commentary talked about the Nicolaitans and how the Nicolaitans were participating in sin in Ephesians, that city in what they call Asia Minor. And the Nicolaitans are likened to Balaam and Balak. And we talked about Balaam and Balak from the Zondervan Pictorial Dictionary and the the Life Application Bible. And what we learned was that Balak, one of the leaders in the region that we call Israel, Palestine, Balak was a king. Okay. He wanted Balaam, who was a prophet, to come into the region and curse the African Hebrew Israelite nation known as the nation of Israel. And so, at first, Balaam said, I can't come. God won't let me. Balak sent more dignitaries, officials greater than the first officials, with promises of wealth and whatnot, if Balaam would come and curse the children of Israel. And I want to take my time with this because I have some things in my mind that I want to say. And I want to compare this drama to what we are going through today, as this is all prophetic concerning, giving us a prophetic window into the future, which is the present condition of the black church and the African Hebrew Israelite nation, which is us, who were kidnapped from the east and taken to the west. Now, why would Balak, a king in that region, I believe he was a Moabite king, I'm not going to go and look it up right now, I'm just talking from my head, but go back to the session last week and I'm going to look it up and put it in my summary. Balak, I believe he was king of the Moabites, but he's a king in the region of Israel, Palestine. He wants to curse the children of Israel. Why would he want to curse the children of Israel? And why would he ask Balaam to come and curse the children of Israel? We have to understand the mission of the African Hebrew Israelite nation known as the children of Israel, or the nation of Israel. Leaving Egypt, having gone through a system of slavery administered by the European invaders known as the Hyksos. And we've talked about the Hyksos over and over. The black man was not on the throne. The Hyksos invaded Egypt, overthrew the black man and woman, and enslaved the African Hebrews and the African Egyptians. Moses rises up to challenge the European invader Hyksos and lead the children of Israel out of slavery. When the children of Israel, the African Hebrew Israelite nation, leave Egypt, having been given reparations — some of us don't like to talk about reparations, but God believes in reparations — the children of Israel were paid reparations by the European invader Hyksos. Now, the children of Israel, the African Hebrew Israelite nation, leave Egypt and go into Israel, Palestine. I want you to look up a word called inhabitants, because the African Hebrew Israelite nation were charged with fighting the inhabitants in the region we know as Israel, Palestine. But that word inhabitants in the English does not mean the same as it does in the Hebrew. When you look up the word inhabitants in the African Hebrew language, in the Hebrew language, it means those who are the judges, those who sit in rulership. So what we see is that the African Hebrew Israelite nation were charged and commissioned with fighting the rulers, the ruling class and ruling families of that region, because the Hyksos had infected that whole region with colonialism, slavery, warfare and bloodshed. And so the African Hebrew Israelite nation were to go into that region with freedom, justice, and equality, and be an example of a kingdom on this earth, a kingdom of God, a kingdom of heaven
on this earth. And so, with that understanding, they, the African Hebrew Israelite nation, would offer citizenship. Recall, there were Hittites and other tribes from that region that had come into the nation of Israel and had joined on with the nation of Israel, the African Hebrew Israelite nation, and had become Israelite citizens, because those other tribes, members of other tribes that joined on, pledged to stand up and fight the inhabitants, which in the Hebrew means judges and rulers of that region, because those judges and rulers were wicked. And so the African Hebrew Israelite nation was charged with standing up for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, and being a nation of refuge to the widows and the fatherless and the rejected and the dejected and the oppressed and the poor, the afflicted, and the needy. So Balak, being one of those kings that administered a system of slavery and colonialism, was angry with the African Hebrew Israelite nation and wanted the African Hebrew Israelite nation cursed, and wanted Balaam to come and curse them. But Balaam at first said, I can't go. Then Balak sent other dignitaries offering wealth and riches to Balaam. Come and curse the children of Israel. You know these folk out here fighting me. I'm a king and I'm wicked, and I love colonialism and slavery. Come and curse the children of Israel so that I can continue to enslave and colonize and shed blood and commit warfare. Balaam said, I can't go. Balak sent some more people. Finally, Balaam said, I'll go, but I can't say other than what God wants me to say. And so, I believe it was four times Balak tried to get Balaam to curse the children of Israel, but Balaam could not curse the children of Israel, but instead blessed the children of Israel, because he had to say what God wanted him to say. And Balak was so angry with Balaam for not cursing the children of Israel like Balak wanted Balaam to do. And so, after all this drama, at some point Balaam, looking at that money, looking at that wealth, says, I got to get at this wealth. I got to get at this money. But I just can't curse the children of Israel. I can't say what God doesn't want me to say. So what Balaam did was he gave a word that would solicit the children of Israel into idolatry. He gave a word that would make idolatry fair seeming, and then said that, or knowing that the Most High would curse the children of Israel if the children of Israel would participate in idolatry. But we don't understand what idolatry is. The idol only represents the minerals and the resources that are found in the earth. Paul, Apostle Paul, the African Revolutionary Hebrew Apostle Paul, said that idolatry is covetousness. And to covet something is to want that which is not yours, and the means used to obtain that which is not yours are wicked means and destructive and detrimental to the one you're taking it from. And so idolatry represents colonialism and slavery and warfare and bloodshed and exploitation, and participating in such wicked system and warfare and bloodshed and the theft and thieving of land, wealth, and resources. And so Balaam used trick knowledge and trick words and trick mentality and verbology to solicit the children of Israel into participating in that which they were commissioned to oppose. That caused the Most High to curse the children of Israel, and that made Balak happy. Now we're going to take our next break, and we're going to connect this to Barack Obama, and I will see you on the other side of the break.
Greetings, greetings again, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information, and you are listening to thinkaboutit.org. That's think about it, not think about it, but think about it. This is Ebonics. We love Ebonics. THANK, thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, December the 12th, 2010. You may contact me by emailing yallove@comcast.net. What does all this drama have to do with the black church, the black preacher, the black pastor? Sisters and brothers, I've been saying over and over again, we are the true descendants of the African Hebrew Israelite nation. And we have been charged, missioned, and commissioned with standing up for freedom, justice, and equality. You know the black man and woman has been on point in America in the struggle for freedom. Do we say all of us? No. We say a great number of us, and we know that we as a people are called for such work. And so now, we talked about how after the assassination of our leaders, who were called messiahs by J. Edgar Hoover, which causes us to know that he understood as a 33rd degree Mason that the black man and woman are the messianic people, and that with our reconnection to our kith and kin in Africa, we would rise up as revolutionaries and take over this whole world on behalf of the Most High, usher in the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. And so after the assassination of our leaders, the busting up of our organizations, fear was pumped into our hearts and we left the movement. Jesus is telling us to come back. Now fast forwarding to Barack Obama and this drama with Balak and with Barack and Balaam. Let me get these names right now. Balak and Balaam, all this drama is giving us a prophetic look into today. You see, the Illuminati Masonic Order, the Wall Street, the multinational resource corporations, the ruling class and ruling families want us to participate in idolatry. We have stated that the idol only represents minerals and resources.
and it represents a wicked system of colonialism and slavery. And so the wicked ruling class want us to forget that we are commissioned to stand up for freedom, justice, and equality, and want us to buy into the philosophy of materialism and consumerism and support their wicked plans of warfare and bloodshed. And so they come to our pastors and our preachers. They come to our civic leaders, and they offer money, wealth, and fame if these leaders, whether political or religious, would give us a philosophy that will maneuver us into participating in consumerism and materialism. Some of that is called the prosperity gospel, which is not a challenge to the system. It causes us to work within the confines of the wicked system of privatized and parasitic capitalism, causes us to work within the confines of the system of consumerism and materialism, which in reality is idolatry, which is covetousness, which is destruction to the human family. And so, some of our preachers have gone after the prosperity gospel because they have sold out, been bought off. Our political leaders, by and large, you have a few, but by and large, do not challenge the system like they should. How about Adam Clayton Powell, who challenged the system as a political leader? How about Dr. King, Malcolm X, Elijah Muhammad, religious leaders who challenged the system? All right, coming down to Barack Obama. Barack Obama, we know that all of those that ran for president were selected by the ruling class and ruling family. Selected by the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, selected by the CIA, the FBI, the Fraternal Order of the Police, selected by the multinational resource and mineral corporations. And we know that they had to go before all of these bodies, whether it was Obama, Biden, Senator Clinton, who she's Secretary of State now, and those others that were running for president, had to go by these wicked forces. And these wicked forces said to them, this is the message that we want you to give. We want you to curse the people. But every time Barack Obama came before black folk, he kept saying good stuff. Stuff that was blessing us. Talking about how he was going to stand up. How he was going to make sure that we stop shedding blood and committing warfare. He was going to open the books, be a transparent government, have a transparent administration, possibly hinting that he would prosecute those who were before him and that committed bloodshed and warfare and crimes against humanity and so on. Every time he came before us, he kept saying good stuff. He styled himself in the mold of the civil rights movement and how if it wasn't for the civil rights movement, he would not, talking about Barack Obama, he said he would not have been president. He went to different functions that were commemorating Dr. King's work. He kept blessing us. The ruling class said curse him, but he couldn't. He kept blessing us. He kept saying good stuff. He galvanized 90% of the black vote to, I forgot that number right, 90% of the black population, those that voted, to support him. And even in the midst of the campaign, there was a time period that Senator Clinton, she was senator at the time, Clinton, and Barack Obama were called into another meeting with the Oppenheimers and the Rothschilds. Go back and research it. Clinton and Barack stop campaigning and go off to a meeting with these ruling class and Bilderbergs and Rothschilds and Oppenheimers. And I'm sure that they said, look, this is what we want y'all to say. This is how we want you to say it. But Lord have mercy, when Barack got into them, those black churches and the Holy Ghost got on him, he couldn't help but keep blessing us and saying good stuff. But now that he's in office, he supports the 911 fictitious narrative. He supports the Bush policies and economic policies. He's supporting Wall Street. He has taken our wealth along with Bush before him, and giving it to Wall Street and giving it to the bankers. He is using his verbology now to cause us to participate in this wicked, idolatrous, covetous, materialistic, consumer system, philosophy of consumerism that causes us to support warfare and bloodshed. Bloodshed going on in the Congo right now as we speak. Bloodshed going on in Israel-Palestine wants us to support Israel over the Palestinians. When you know the history, because you listen to me, you know the history. You know that the state of Israel is an imposter Israel and is only there to facilitate colonialism and destroy the Palestinians and all the peoples within that region. Want to expand the borders of Israel as far southwest as the Nile in Egypt, cutting off a portion of Egypt for themselves, all the way northeast to Iran, engulfing portions of Iraq and Jordan and other nations in between, and all who don't want to stay and be punks and slaves, kill them all or export them. And so Barack is now using his verbology to cause us to maneuver us into supporting what we should not be supporting. Everything we said Bush was doing, Obama is doing it and worse. And so Barack is fulfilling his role as Balaam or Balaam. And he is now using his verbology to maneuver us into supporting idolatry, which is covetousness, which is supporting warfare and bloodshed to destroy the human family and participate in colonialism, slavery, and exploitation. And now many of us are suffering because we refuse to go back to our first love, which is justice, freedom, and equality for the whole of the human family, poor black, brown, red, yellow, and poor white too. We're going to have to rise above him, meaning Barack, and understand that we, in the Living Bible either the Living Bible Translation or the Zondervan Bible Dictionary, compared the children of Israel to a lion, L-I-O-N. And that lion was commissioned to overthrow the oppressor. Black man and woman, black church, black preacher, black pastor, we are that lion who have been commissioned with the power and mind of Christ to overthrow this wicked oppressor. So Ephesians, Ephesus, that church at Ephesus in Ephesians represents an aspect of the black church. Certainly we have rejected some of the prosperity gospel, but we have not gone back to the full extent of rejecting the philosophy of the ruling class and ruling families, this idolatrous, covetous, materialistic, consumeristic philosophy of bloodshed and warfare. Let's go down to verse 7 in chapter 2 in the book of Revelation. Jesus says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So the word "hath" is a verb, and in the Greek language it is echo, found under the number 2192. And let me finish that off with Barack Obama. As long as we continue to allow him to maneuver us into supporting idolatry, and that's what this system is, idolatrous, theft of land, wealth, and resources, diamonds, rubies, gold, minerals, and so on, we will continue to suffer cursing. The Most High has to curse us if we continue to support bloodshed and warfare and the destruction of the human family. But we are going to overcome this, and we are going to come back to ourselves. And we are going to stand up for freedom, justice, and equality, the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. We will see through those wicked powers that are using our beautiful brother. And so he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To the word hath is a verb. This word is a verb found under the number 2192. That word is echo. Or echo in the Greek language. It means to hold and to possess. So we're to hold and possess something. What are we holding and possessing? An ear. An ear. E-A-R. An ear. 3775 on the Greek side of the Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. That word is ous. Look it up. And see how it's spelled and see how it's pronounced. But the meaning is to perceive with the mind. To perceive with the mind. To have faculty, understanding, and knowing. So we are to hold and possess perception with our mind. Mental perception, mental faculty, understanding, and knowing. And we know it's knowing the truth. We've been talking about the truth. Hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. And that word let, I don't have that in the Hebrew, the Greek, but let him hear. Let him hear. The forces out there don't want us to hear. So we say to the forces, to the ruling class, be quiet so that we can hear what the Spirit say. Let us hear. And we say to the preachers and the pastors, the black pastors and preachers and the black church, let us hear. Let us hear what the Spirit really is saying. Let is a word that is a verb because people are clamping our ears shut to this truth. So we say, let us hear this wonderful truth. Let us hear what the Spirit saith. That word hear, H-E-A-R, found under the number 191 on the Greek side of the Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, akouo, which means to perceive, to learn, to understand, and to comprehend. So we're going to end there for this session. But this is what the Spirit is saying. Come back to freedom. Come back to justice. Come back to equality. Reject this idolatrous philosophy. Covetous, consumerism, materialism. Reject warfare, bloodshed, and the theft of land, wealth, and resources. Stand up against all of those wicked forces and powers that will use our beautiful black brother, Obama, and his beautiful and wonderful and precious black family. Stand up against the Rothschilds, the Illuminati, Masonic Order. Hear what the Spirit is saying. So, Jala. Jah bless. Thank you for listening. This is the Exodus, the movement of Jah people.